Luke 22, verses 31 and 32. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Father, tonight, once again, we break the bread of life, asking God that you would anoint your messenger, our ears to hear, our hearts to receive, in Christ's name, amen. We're going to talk about fighting, just a few minutes, fighting a successful war against Satan. You don't have to be a Christian very long to come to the startling fact that this is a war. And we're fighting a real enemy. He's unseen, but he's real. He's out there, constantly fighting you. You may not be aware of it sometimes. You may not accept that fact, but he's constantly fighting you. There's a woman paraded up to her minister one time and said, I never have all these battles and fights with Satan that you tell about. And the minister replied to her, two cars going in the same direction rarely run into each other. So maybe tonight you might say, I don't have these battles, Pastor. Well, my reply to you would be, two cars going in the same direction rarely run into each other. It might be you're going the wrong direction. You need to turn around, because you're going to fight Satan at one time or another. In some way, some fashion, some form, you're going to fight him if you're a bona fide Christian. The real deal, you'll fight him, because he's going to do everything he can to fight you, to prevent you from being heavenward bound, to prevent you from entering heaven. He doesn't want you to go there. He has no desire for you to succeed in your Christian walk. Actually, he doesn't have any desire for you to succeed in any area of life. If he can get you to falter and fall and ruin your life and destroy those around you, that would be his greatest joy. So anyway, there's a war going on, and we need to talk a little bit about how to win it. Just a little bit tonight, how to win that war. First off, you need to identify your enemy. You need to identify him. Go to Romans, Ephesians 6:12. Ephesians 6:12 says, For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Flesh and blood we don't wrestle against, but we wrestle against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Eliminate in your minds who your enemies are not. Let me tell you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, your enemy is not your husband or your wife or your children or your employer or your employee or the Walmart checker or the other drivers on the road. That's not your enemy. They are not your enemy. In World War II, the United States and Britain didn't fight Britain. They fought Japan and Germany. They didn't fight Britain. They were our allies. So we don't need to fight people who are on our side. We don't need to fight against God. He's on our side. If it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, well, where would we be tonight? If it wasn't for God, where would you be tonight? He's on your side. Don't fight him. In the Korean conflict, the United States didn't fight with France. We fought against the Chinese because they were trying to impose their desires and their will upon the Koreans. So we went over there and helped fight them. We ended up fighting North Korea, and there's the line there now has been drawn, and you know, they spy off from one side, they're looking to the other side, and there's armies there, and every now and then they rattle their sabers and you think they're going to fight, but we didn't go over there and fight France. We went over to liberate the Koreans and fought against the Chinese. Right? In Vietnam, we didn't go fight who did we fight? We fought them little guys that got in the tunnels, and we fought the North Vietnamese. We didn't fight with France, or we didn't fight with Britain. We didn't fight with Korea. We fought with these little guys, these North Vietnamese. We knew who our enemy was. I won't call him what you're thinking, dude. You see, we have to identify who the enemy is. And our enemy is not those around us, not the people around us. Our real enemy is Satan, doing everything he can to destroy us. His job is to kill, steal, and destroy. He does his job well. We give him credit sometimes, however, when it's not him. Sometimes it's our flesh. Sometimes it's our own evil desires. Sometimes it's just the lust, pride. Come on, sometimes that's what it is. But we give Satan credit for that too. But realize, ladies and gentlemen, Satan's out to get you. You know, frustration can set in and precious time's lost when a doctor treats you for a nervous disorder when you're dying of cancer. We need to understand who the real enemy is and fight the real enemy and go for the real remedy for what's going on with us. And I am not your enemy today, and you're not mine. Those sitting across from you or near you or those in your household are not the enemy. We treat each other that way sometime. We get angry at one another. We say harsh words to one another. We let things separate us and get in our way sometime. But really, that's not the enemy. The real enemy is Satan. He wants to kill, steal, destroy. He wants to tear down your homes. He wants to destroy your relationships. He'd like to get you out of church. And it's Satan who we must fight. It's Satan we must fight against. Not each other. We need one another to successfully win this war. We need each other. We need to, however, to watch out for his disguises. You know, the Bible fact is, says in 2 Corinthians 11:14, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. He can transform him. He makes himself look like he's, have you ever, no, well, you know people and I know people and you know things that look like sometimes they're of the gospel and they look like they're really good, but it's simply put, it's Satan who has transformed himself into an angel of light to bring deception. Even though he may look right and it may shine correctly, there's still something wrong about it. And that's where you and I need to be very discerning, to be full of the Spirit and led of the Spirit of God. We need to understand and recognize his tactics. He's going to kill, steal, and destroy. He'll transform himself into an image of God, to an image of righteousness, to destroy and to tear you down, to confuse you. His job, his major job, is confusing people. He likes to use that tactic to confuse us. And he can do that with people who are shallow in the Word of God, who are not faithful to God, people who are lackluster in their worship of God. He can fool them really easy and take little things and trick them into believing that it's God. He'll twist the scripture. He'll take a scripture. What did he do with Jesus? He took him different places and said, if you'll do this, this is what I'll do. And he quoted scripture, but he quoted it out of context, or he took a few words out of context and he changed it. And Jesus was smarter than that, say, oh, no, 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 no. I know he gives angels charge of me, but he says, you're not to tempt God. Sure, he would lift me up. Sure, he would save my life because it's not time for me to die. But the word says, don't tempt him. You know? Well, if you'll command those, you're hungry, command these rocks to be turned into bread, and I know God will do it. Yes, he will. But it says, yeah, you know, you don't live by man bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. He'll take things and say, well, it's your right. You ever seen all these TV commercials? How they put this, not your right, but you deserve it. You deserve that new car. You deserve them clothes. You deserve to look younger. You deserve that facelift. You deserve this new person. Satan tells you, you deserve everything. What do you deserve? You deserve the love of God, and God has given it. Anything beyond that, you don't deserve nothing. We don't deserve anything. But Satan will tell you, you deserve it. He'll get you into debt head over heels where you can't afford to even hardly drive to church. You have a new car, can't pay for it. But you deserved it. You deserve them payments as more than you can afford. Satan do everything he can to discourage you, to kill, steal, and destroy, no matter what it takes. So we need to understand his tactics. and understand that he's going to do everything he can to destroy you. He wants to tear you down. He wants to ruin you. He wants to cause you to turn your back on God and say, if this is what it's like to be a Christian, I don't want to do it. Well, let me just tell you this tonight before I go any further. Satan doesn't play fair, and I'll get to that in a minute, but you know what? It's a good life living for the Lord. And in this life living for God, you're going to have trials and tribulations. You're going to have turmoil. Life's not going to always be fair. But no matter what turmoil, what trial, how much unfairness there is in your life, God still loves you. God still has a good plan for your life. God still wants to bless your life. And God will never forsake you. No matter what you think, it may look like he's forsaking you, but God will never forsake you. He'll never do it. So Ephesians 6:11 says this, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Let me just turn over there for a minute if I can find it. Ephesians chapter 6. For it says this, it says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we were there again, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take upon yourself the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Having done all to stand. Stand therefore. Have your loin girt about with truth. You want to fight the devil, put on truth. Don't go to fight him without a strategy session. Don't go to try to fight him without the whole armor of God. Don't try to stand alone. Put on the armor of God. Take the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Have your loins girt about with truth. Have on a breastplate of righteousness. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, which wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. No matter what he throws at you, you can stop it with the shield of faith. And then it says, and take the helmet of salvation. Guard your minds. Guard your minds. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, the believer's offensive weapon. When Satan comes against you, use the Word of God on him. So I don't know what to say. We'll find you a scripture. Stand on that scripture. If nothing else, just say, Satan, the Word of God says, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Satan, that's what it says. I don't care what you throw at me. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. I've got the shield of faith, Satan, and I've got the sword of the Spirit, Satan, and I've my loins girt about with truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, and Satan. That's all I need, and you can't penetrate my defenses. And I'm not running. I'm going to stand here. It says, if I'll just stand, having done all to stand, I'm to stand. And all I know to do is stand. I don't know what else to say. I'm not going nowhere. I'm not turning my back on God. And I'm not turning my back on you, because you'll stab me. If I do turn my back, sir, it's to run to God. And when I run to God, that's my big brother, Jesus, right there next to him. And he's fixing to stop He's fixing to stomp you, sir. If I can't do it, he can. Fact is, he already did. You want some more of my brother? Whatever. Tell him whatever it takes to get him off your back. Let him know, I am not afraid of you. I don't know how to handle you, but I know what I can do to stop you, and I'm going to do everything. I'm not going to let you run over me. I understand your tactics. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. as a roaring lion. Does not say he is a roaring lion. Jesus is the lion of the tribe of Judah. Jesus has defeated him at the cross. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father making intercession for you. He says you can come boldly to the throne of grace to receive help anytime you need it. And so we know we have that adversary. We know also we have that one in heaven making intercession for us. And so why are we going to run from the Satan instead of us run to God and us do what the Word of God says to do, to stand and pray? It says then in verse 18, praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit. Some don't believe in that. I believe in praying in the Spirit. I believe in letting the Spirit of God make intercession for me. I believe in letting Him take over and just telling the devil what he needs to tell him, and me praying to God the very prayer I need to pray to receive my help, to receive my strength. So, but we got to understand He's walking about, and it tells us to be sober, be vigilant. Understand this, ladies and gentlemen, Satan is like a roaring lion. He is going around trying to catch you unawares. He's trying to make prey out of you. Have you ever seen a lion stalk prey? You ever watch those nature shows where the lion is stalking prey, and there's usually a pride of lions, not just one or two. There's usually more than one, but Satan's as a roaring lion. And oftentimes you'll hear them old lions in the back, out in the distance, and they'll roar, and their prey becomes fearful. They know that there's something that may attack them close by. And sometimes it causes them to freeze in fear. But the Satan's like a lion, so he's in the bushes. He's in the tall grass, and he's slinking, trying to get you up on your blind side, trying to catch you unawares. Once he starts the prey, the stalk, he's not going to roar. He's like a roaring lion, off here trying to get your attention and scare you. That didn't work, so now I'm going to stalk them. I'm going to sneak up on them quietly. Not catch them unaware. I'll jump. I'll leap on their back. I'll drag them down. I'll destroy them if I can. I'll eat their guts out. That's what he does. I'll render them to pieces. That's what he'll do. That's his God. That's his job. That's his goal, to destroy you. Be aware of his tactics. Put on the armor of God. Understand he's seeking whom he may devour. You need to just tell him, devil, you're on the wrong person's trail. You're on the wrong person's trail. You can't have me. I'm aware of your tactics. I'm watching over in the high grass. I have the armor of God on. I'm yielding the sword of the Spirit. I have the breastplate of righteousness. I have all of it on, the helmet of salvation. My loins are girded about with truth. You cannot get to me. But we allow him to do that sometimes. We need to go into battle, however, when we come after the devil with a strategy session. No king ever goes into battle. None, United States, when they go into battle, they don't go into battle, just say, I want this ship to head over. They have a plan when they send the ship to the Persian Gulf. They have a reason to send it there. They have a reason to have it patrol over in the Persian Gulf or in the Mediterranean. There's a reason for that missile, that ship with missiles to be there, that ship with those aircraft guns, and that ship with those planes, that aircraft. There's a reason for it to be there, and they've strategized that we need to have one here, we need to have one over here, we need to get this one headed that direction, we need to get our planes within striking distance. We have a goal, and we need to do the same thing. We don't need to go into battle without first counting the cost. And of course, you know that Satan's a master of propaganda. What's simply propaganda? A mass effort at turning the opinions of men. A mass effort at turning the opinions of men. He attempts to convince our society that adultery is all right. Social drinking is all right. Did you know within the church today, not this church necessarily, I don't guess. I mean, you guys may be doing a lot of things I don't know about. Do you know within the church world today, even our Pentecostal ranks, there is a debate raging over drinking? It is raging across our nation. over drinking. When the, although the Bible says wine is a mocker, strong drink is a raging, whoever is deceived thereby is a fool. It's not wise at what it says. And it talks about not, they say that social drinking of wine or any type of liquor is all right as long as you control it. As long as you don't become intoxicated. That's the argument. They say it's in the Bible. They drank wine in the Bible. They used it all the time. And it's okay. As, but if you have a brother this week, you shouldn't drink in front of him. There's a big debate. I mean, Charisma magazine and all these different magazines, they're writing articles about it, and they're giving both sides of it, and they're fighting about it across our nation. We're compromising Scripture. And then there's the he'll try to convince us not only is adultery all right and social drinks all right, but a very little church attendance is okay. Well, that has infiltrated our little church. You don't have to go to church to be a Christian. You don't need to attend the house of worship. You don't need to worship God with a group of people. You don't need to break the bread of life with a group of people. You don't need to hear the testimonies. You don't need the fellowship. You don't need the church. You can be a Christian without the church. God set the church in order. He launched the church in the book of Acts. He launched it on the day of Pentecost. The church, maybe it has evolved in something different than what it started out, but it's still the church. A place of fellowship, a place of worship, a place of learning, a place of edification, a place where you are equipped to go out into the world and win souls. The church is still viable. But Satan has convinced people that you don't need to go to church. You can be the Long Ranger. Just get you a Tonto. Just get you a friend and you can conquer the world for Jesus. No, you need the church. He's also trying to convince the world, and he's just about convinced our nation and probably three quarters of this world that homosexuality is all right. Do you know another major denomination just this week passed a resolution in their conference that they changed the definition of marriage from one man and one woman to two people? Just this week, the Presbyterians have passed that. Now it goes to all their different areas, and they vote now whether to accept that or not, and the lay People's Union of the Presbyterian Church says, we will fight because they have erred against the Word of God. So there's fixing to be a fight and a split in the Presbyterian Church because Satan has convinced, has connived and convinced everybody that everyone deserves love. Everyone deserves to decide who they will love. You have that right. But when that involves a sexual act that goes against God's word, you have violated God. And God says no. No blessing, no favor, no heaven. You violated my word. It doesn't matter what it is. If it goes against God's word, you have violated God's word and you have jeopardized your place in heaven. Regardless of who you are, and we all have friends. I have a cousin down in Houston, Texas, is a lesbian. We all have them in our family. Have that person of that practicing homosexuality, lesbianism. We have them in our families. We all do. But it violates God's word. But Satan would tell you that adultery is all right, fornication is all right, drinking is okay, not going to church is all right, homosexuality is all right, stealing is all right, lying is all right, whatever it is, cheating on a test is okay, whatever it might be, cursing, it doesn't matter. Satan says it's okay. You got angry. It's all right to say that word when you're angry. It's all right to let your guard down when you're angry. Everyone does it. No, they don't. Not everyone does it. Not everyone sins on a daily basis. But Satan would do that, so you have to understand he's a master of propaganda. He'll do everything he can. He'll bring up everything he can to make you doubt your cause and your mission. He'll do everything he can to make you doubt your victory. He'll do what he can to cause you to doubt your salvation. Whatever it takes, he's a master of propaganda. And really, what you need to understand is this, ladies and gentlemen. If Satan says it's this way, you need to understand it's probably the other direction. If he tells you the truth, he's some way or another, he hopes to gain some ground in it. He's not telling you that for your good. But usually if he says something's this way, it's the opposite. Because he's going to lie. He's a liar from the beginning. He's the father of lies. There's no truth in him. He can't tell the truth. He's a master at undercover work. He's not always up front where you can see him. He's deceitful and sneaky. He's a master at undercover. He strikes when you least expect it. But he's always there. He's always there. He's an infiltrator, contaminating everything he encounters. He'll contaminate it. We got to be careful. We got to understand he doesn't play fair. He doesn't. So we need to invest in our own preparation. How we do that? 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. Pray constantly. Put on the armor of God. Pray with all prayer and supplication. Pray without ceasing. Read the Word daily. Read the Word daily. You want to win this fight? You want to keep Satan off your back? You want to keep him from winning this fight against you and tricking you and sneaking up on you? Then pray. Read the Word and commit everything that you are to Christ. Bear fruit, like Brother Ryder told us Wednesday night. Stay in the vine. There's where life is in the vine. Bear fruit. But stay in the vine. Satan can't get you if you're in the vine. Amen? So, how many believe we can win this war? Amen. How many is going to stay aware of Satan? He's in your face usually, isn't he? But when he's not in your face, he's sneaky and deceptive. He tries every tactic available and invents a few more. Be aware that he doesn't love you. Fact is, he doesn't even like you. Even if you were serving him, he would not love you nor like you. Because his job is to kill, steal, and destroy. But be aware also that Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You are overcomers. You are victorious through Christ. You can fight a successful war against Satan. You can do it. And God will equip you, has equipped you, and will continue to equip you to fight this fight, to win this war, to be an overcomer, and to one day make heaven your home. Heading there, heading home. Be there before you know it. Be there before you know it. In this life, it seems like it just goes on and on and on, and trouble just goes on and on and on, and will be over. And we'll realize then it was just a vapor, and all the struggles and everything we did was worth it to go be with Jesus. It'll be worth it. Heaven will surely be worth it all. Amen. Stand to your feet. Why don't you come? Let's have a word of prayer, a season of prayer tonight, and just if you're struggling, just ask God to help you. Put on the armor of God tonight and just bask in God's glory. Let him bless your heart and bless your life tonight. Thank you, Father.